across the galaxy. This is where conspiracy on the wild side meets the perspective of a lifetime. This is the Free Zone with your host, Freeman.
Hello and welcome to the Free Zone. Well, I think we're all quite aware that we are under the auspices of a global death cult. But how do we really find the origins of this? Where does it come from? How do we find more and more to understand this justified bringing down of a tyrannical oppressive system? Tonight, we're going to talk with William Ramsey. He's attorney, author, researcher, and author of 5 books and numerous documentaries. We had a great talk about Aleister Crowley, The Prophet of Evil, one of William's books, and Abomination, about the West Memphis murders, Aleister Crowley's Shadows Over Humanity, so many great works. But tonight we are talking about Global Death Cult and the Order of the Nine Angles. And I tell you guys, I learned and confirmed so much out of this. It is amazing. So please welcome to the Free Zone, William Ramsey. Hey, William.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me back on. It's been too long.
8 years. It has. I mean, I think I was still doing the TV show back last time you were on, maybe. Yeah. But we did do an amazing work on Aleister Crowley. And anyone listening, guys, go back and listen to that. It was deep. I don't think anyone, I mean, you go so deep into these things. I think I know things about the occult. I think I know things about secret orders. And I've been to Mason temples and going places. And I mean, the stuff that is presented in Global Death Cult has never come across my desk. I've never seen this Order of the Nine Angles and the sinister path. And I found it so fascinating because it goes right along with everything that we've ever studied here on the Free Zone. And it's amazing. So
thanks.
What I really started with in this book was the what is justified in bringing down this tyrannical oppressive system. It's amazing how satanic our policies and politics have become, or have been, if you really look into it, and how this is used then to justify extremist actions on occult groups and Satanists that believe that they are using this to bring down a tyrannical oppressive system. And it's leading into alt-right extremism being the number one terrorist threat in America. It's astounding when you don't really see an alt-right white supremacist extremist takeover. We see a takeover from more like Klaus Schwab and a Jew that was collecting property for the Nazis. And so please let's dig into Global Death Cult, because I tell you, it blew my mind.
Well, I didn't know a lot of this information either, so it was kind of a journey for me. Like, I was researching this spate of killings of young men all around the country, and somebody reached out to me and said, hey, there might be a group that might be involved in this, the Order of Nine Angles. I said, I've never heard of them. So then I did a show with a guy by the name of Igor Sarsky, and I just realized, wow, this is amazing. So these guys are talking about some kind of long-term overthrow for Galactic Empire, a 300-year plan, and they're talking about selecting a victim or what they call an Opfer or a German name as a means to go up the kind of septenary way, or the sevenfold path that they have. And so it kind of fit in that their ideas are secret, but also very lethal. And so I really wanted to research and get into that. So that's kind of the outcome, is this book, and realizing that these ideas, because of the internet and the ease of communication and travel, these ideas have gone from kind of a small person on the far right in England to being disseminated all over the world. So that's the title of the book, The Global Death Cult.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely changed things when you had to do newsletters, mail everything out, to having an open platform on the internet and being able to disseminate all this information. I mean, this sinister path of the Order of Nine Angles isn't an ancient order. This is not something that goes back to even the 1800s or, you know, like with Theosophy or Crowley's AA in the 1900s. This is far more recent, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's really post-war. Came out of the far right in England, this character by the name of David Myatt, but he built upon his knowledge of Crowley and other occult orders and chaos magic and integrated it into this new group. And it's interesting, you kind of were talking about these newsletters. That's really the way it started. This group would sell its documents, pamphlets through post office boxes, pre-internet. And it was very kind of a very small operation back then. Now the corpus of the Order of Nine Angles is like 10,000 pages of work as more people have added to its ideas. But originally it just was this kind of small type of thing, but then it's just grown, and new heads, outer heads of the order, and more of these cells, what they would call Nexians, are all around the world, really. And some are predominant here, and some of those Nexians have influenced the far right in the United States, and that's why I included Atomoff and were some of these ideas of the Order of Nine Angles through the sinister tradition have influenced them. So these are kind of far right ideas, racist ideas, anti-Christian ideas, very much kind of carrying on Hitler's tradition. Like, they actually reform the kind of Christian dating system to the birth of Adolf Hitler in 1889. So the year of Fien, or the year of victory, is supposedly when Hitler was born. So it's a weird kind of mix of far-right ideas, occultism, and this striving, this kind of post-World War II striving for kind of a far-right ideal society.
Hey, you find as they're pushing for this National Socialism, as he's trying to find recruits and people to come into this, that they're not really all that motivated. It seemed like it was kind of difficult for him to really push the National Socialism aspect of this, get people excited and find some format in this. So it seemed like he turned more to the occult instead of the political. Did you see that?
I think you're absolutely right. I think he was a frustrated politician. I think he tried to get in. There were these other Nazis in England, Martin Webster, Eddie Morrison, Colin Jordan, maybe the most well-known. He was actually, there's a picture of him shaking hands with Rockwell, who was in the U.S., so they knew each other. But yeah, they got, only at one point they got that, I think the National Front got 11% of the vote 1 year, but then they were kind of, see, there was a lot of infighting, and they became less popular, and so nobody really got the bug for this kind of National Socialist movement in England. But yeah, so I think the occultism was much more successful than their political aspirations. And I think that the ONA really has permeated this occult movement. So there's a lot more people who are occultists who are aware of their doctrines than really a lot. I think the public knew, or certainly I knew, but it's gone all the way up to, like, you can see some of these ideas are really in modern culture, really, with some of these bands and things like that. There's one band in England that's well known called Bring Me the Horizon, who talks about some of these ideas. So it goes all the way up to the present day in a culture. Yeah, really remarkable.
Yeah, they're definitely putting this in there. It's fascinating to see the debates that they would have with Aquino and the ideas of Satanism, where in the Order of the Nine Angles has tried to commit to the fact that they are far more sinister than the Church of Satan or any of the type of high ceremonial magic Satanists, that these guys are actually deep into this mindset of bringing out this new breed of warrior explorer. And, you know, their sinister culling is far more superior than what the Satanists have done. It seemed like there was a lot of battles, like L. Ron Hubbard and Crowley, between Myatt and Aquino.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. I think that they were kind of sniping at each other. And, like, I think Myatt was saying to Aquino in these missives that pretty much can be confirmed that Myatt was writing them, but they were the order pamphlets of Stephen Brown, or the satanic letters of Stephen Brown. And it's really interesting that they took the time to really correspond with each other and compare notes. But yeah, you're right. I think that Myeth was much more vicious. Like, I'm outwardly saying that we're going to kill, and you aren't. He Myeth seemed to think that Akino had something secret within his group that they were killing, but Myeth was saying that is a core part of our order, is that we are going to cull the people. Yeah.
Yeah, these guys are saying, well, we'll sacrifice all happiness. We'll sacrifice our personal lives for this future ideal, and that all of our actions are justified in the satanic belief. And if we look into it, really, you know, a lot of what America holds, or even just in the monetary system that we live in, we hold a lot of satanic ideals that we don't really realize of this might makes right and the whole Darwinian type of takeover. So these guys believe that there's no limits to, you know, liberating your dark shadow personality to bring about this new empire of the human galactic empire, which I want to get into as we get deeper into this. But how to evolve civilization was their idea. And they were willing to sacrifice their own personal happiness. They said that this is, you know, that is the lowest form. You are a mundane if you really just want to enjoy life.
Right. Yeah, they had contempt with just the average person. So they set themselves apart as some kind of like elite. It's almost like the variance between the magical people in Harry Potter and the muggles, right? So the mundane is almost synonymous with muggles. But yeah, I don't think it's a huge group. I don't think they have a huge amount of membership, but they see themselves. And I think that Maya was very intelligent, no question about it. But I think they see themselves set apart and are going to be that kind of Naziistic determiner who's going to live and die. I think the Nazis did the same thing. You know, they did it to the Jews and the Russians and the Poles. You know, so I think that the Order of Nine Angles is right in line with kind of National Socialist outlook.
Yeah, Maya even went on to become a monk, right?
Right. He had a very interesting kind of background. He worked in a whorehouse. He was a monk, a Catholic monk. He traveled a lot. His dad was a kind of foreign worker for the British Empire. So I think he was born in Tanganyika, like somewhere in Africa. So he wasn't kind of a provincial. He was definitely went to school. He was university educated for a little bit of time, but you can see all of those ideas have been integrated into the ONA. So his kind of knowledge of Greek history, mythology, and esotericism, and this kind of Catholic view, these chants of some of the practices of the ONA have this kind of chanting that Myeth learned in the Catholic Church, and also kind of his knowledge of the world, really. So he was kind of sophisticated in his reading choices and the language that he uses. A lot of it's very unique to me. I haven't seen it in anywhere else that I've read. I'm fairly well read, but his whole ideas like Labyrinthos, Mythologicus, Pathemathos, the oral tradition. So he integrated all these kind of new words and these ideas into the concepts of the Order of Nine Angles.
Well, he definitely wanted to get his groups into different orders, kind of infiltrate everywhere, like the Illuminati, and
right,
get around to the culling. And it really feels, I mean, we're at this edge of the culling right now. I mean, it's right in our faces with everything that's going on right now.
I totally believe that. Yeah. But he called those infiltration things insight roles. So he got insight into, he still maintained his Satanism, but he got insight into things by being a thief. He was actually like a cat burglar. That was one of his insight roles. The Catholic experiences in the monastery was another. And then he did some strange thing that a lot of people can't key into. Well, he became a radical Muslim. So he changed his name. He became a radical Muslim. But according to ONA, you know, concepts, that's just another insight role, because he became the kind of Muslim who bombs people and is very aggressive. So he was still maintaining the ethos of the Order of Nine Angles. He just changed kind of his outer, you know, camouflage, so to speak.
Well, they call that shape-shifting, right?
Right. So that's another thing. Shape-shifting is another ideal or concept that they have. And it's hard to state how much of this ideology goes into the followers, just like any other kind of religion or cult, but very sophisticated ideas. And these insight roles, that concept, I think, has come to the U.S. So you saw a lot of these Adam Waffen members trying to get training in the U.S. military or National Guard or something like that. So you can kind of see that concept within the far right here of trying to learn these things and get into, you know, the powerful positions, I think, is interesting. And I don't know the full, you know, breadth of how much of the ONA, like some of these politicians, are they ONA? I don't know. I wouldn't know that. It's never really been public, but they keep their membership very closely tight. Like there's not a lot of people professing like, hey, I'm an ONA member. So it's very, very curious, and it's hard to ascertain the reach. However, it is easy to ascertain some of the ONA effects, because I include that in my book in some of these chapters, just about some of these shootings and killings and murders, Meltzer and Von Nudegem in Toronto, that are directly tied to the ONA. Like one guy, this Meltzer, I think he ended up at the same penitentiary or jail as Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, but he tried to set his military group, I think I forgot what it was, somewhere in Italy. He was trying to set him up to be killed and contacting the ONA. So he just recently got sentenced, but he was seen with the Sinister Tradition book on his desk. There's a picture of that in my book.
Right. They make sure that you see just enough in their their profile pictures and whatnot to let you know those in the know.
Right. And there's very curious pictures. So they have like a fixation with water. So you'll see pictures of the ONA concepts just look like average pictures of like maybe, you know, trees or, you know, rural land. But that's kind of their idea. There's a lot of really kind of druidic qualities suffused through the whole group. So I think the third step on the septenary path is like you have to go out at night and train yourself to lie down at sunset and wait till sunrise. Right. So you have to sit still for a full like, you know, 9 hours or whatever it is. And so that's kind of like a druidic and getting comfortable with being in kind of very forested rural areas is like one thing. So yeah, there's very, once you kind of key into their worldview, you'll see that these pictures and these things like that, it's easier to tell like, oh, this person might be ONA, but yeah, it's very subtle.
Well, they define nature as Satan, right?
I think so. I think that they had, like I said, druidic. So I think that nature and going out there and being associated with nature is ideal. Yeah. So I think that, you know, I think that they're always involved in sacrifice and things and things that are the darkest type of things out there, like culling the dark gods. So I think that you're supposed to kind of go out like the dark gods. There's portals up in the constellations that you're supposed to bring down and actually inhabit in yourself. Like that part of the thing is actually to be possessed.
Yeah, that was a part that I found very fascinating, was the idea of stargates and dark gods that they had written into these. Now, the Order of the Nine Angles, let's get a year. Was it 70s when this really became?
I think it was the corpus, the core doctrines were put together in the 70s and 80s. Yeah. So, you know, just like three pages at a time. And you can see some of those old pieces of the ONA, like literal, like plastic binders, like the plastic, like cut papers that you had when you were a kid. That was kind of what they were doing. So right. I think that's it. And then it grew. So like Myatt is still alive. I think he's very old. I heard a rumor within the last week or two that he died. I just couldn't confirm that. But he kind of said, at least publicly, that I'm giving up kind of the becoming the overall head. He gave it to another guy named Molt. Then there was another Satanist out of Texas who briefly had it. And then it's rumored to be this girl, Chloe, who became the next head. And they've all written their own things and added and tinkered with the corpus and the ideas, but Chloe's still out there. So it's pretty, I mean, they are very deceptive, so they don't quite go out and, you know, brag about stuff, but
yeah, that's the big difference. They're not dressing up in these satanic outfits like Aquino or LaVey, and
right.
Yeah, they're just out causing massive disruption wherever they can. They even suggest joining the police force. Then you've got the idea of NATO and the Gladio network coming together.
Right. Well, that's it. It was called Combat 18 in the UK. So this guy was part of that Gladio Stavion network. A bunch of interesting characters there. So that is another part of his network. And I think Myatt's very well networked in the far right. And even like I show in the first part of the book, like his hero, he has a signed copy from this guy, Otto Rehmer, who was very much like a supporter of Hitler. He actually saved kind of Hitler's regime during what's known here in the States as Operation Valkyrie. But he has like a signed copy of a picture of Otto Ernst Rehmer. Is pretty remarkable. But yeah, he had interesting connections. He definitely was around and is still around. And it's come to the California. I know that he's had meetings here in the States with followers. So very, very curious character, no question.
So the whole philosophy of being above the law, coupled with Era Vulgaris, you know, thou art God, human sacrifice, Era Vulgaris, and then this worship of these dark gods that come through and possess you through stargates. I mean, I find that just right along with everything that I've been studying in the occult, more so in the modern era, is this contact with extra-dimensional or interdimensional or even extraterrestrial beings using ritual magic. But they definitely made a statement to clarify that these were far superior dark gods than those of H.P. Lovecraft.
Right. And make sure to make that point. Good, well said. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. So they say that their dark gods, their 21 dark gods that have their own sigils, are unique to them. So, and there's kind of weird names of them. I have a list of them somewhere in my book, but, yeah, they're trying to bring them down. They're trying to let them inhabit and become them, be possessed. So it's definitely like a possession thing. And doing through rituals. There's one guy I mentioned in my book. His last name is Fleming. Like his, you can go see his website. I think it's still up. Total blood rituals out in the forest to try to become the Stark God and become a vampire. Vampiric, also vampiric kind of sensibilities are also integrated into the ONA too. So they've got a really pretty heady mishmash and stuff of very different concepts coming together in this one group.
And they brought out a feminized or a feminine Baphomet and have orders for the women as well, right?
That's great. Yeah, that's right. That's a rune with is what they call it. So it's very open to members of the different genders, definitely. And that sex magic, some of the early sex magic involves men and women. You know? So he integrated sex magical ideas into it. And you can go look at in the rune with a tradition. There's just a lot of writing about that as well. So it wasn't very rigidly, the doctrines weren't as rigid as maybe some other religions or groups you might think. It was something that grew or metastasized with different ideas and different people who became involved and wrote their own pamphlets or added their own knowledge. But the core, I think, has been still the same from Myatt's writing from the 80s. Yeah.
Well, socially, we can really see where we are entering some sort of satanic network that is just pulling up the shadow personality of people all over the planet. I mean, from the riots, from everything that we're seeing, up to even Fauci and those culling the population, gain of function, or, you know, through vaccines, however you want to look at this. But they're definitely, we're looking at this satanic rise right now where but it really has to do with liberating that shadow personality, which was one of the main tenets of the Order of Nine Angles.
Absolutely. I think they're very dark-sided. I think their psychology is sophisticated as well. So I think that that's what they're trying to kind of bore into, is the kind of darker view, human views, but and carry on the kind of Nazi tradition of murder and racism and said the arrogance of the Germans. They were the master race, right? And these other people will serve us. So I think all that stuff is wrapped into, and the anti-Christianism. So the Nazis definitely were not Christians, and wanted to get rid of the Christian church. And I think that's same kind of what the ONA calls Nazarenes. They had their contempt for Nazarenes and the Savior and things like that, or Homo hubris, or the Hubriati. They have just contempt for them. And you can see that kind of idea. I mean, think about just the ideas of this coming across and just infecting one person who you don't know who this person is. And they have these kind of, I would almost call it fable writing, where you can learn how to like conduct murders and how to, you know, give something to the dark gods through water. And I include those in my book as well. But yeah, I think that dark spirit is definitely trying to be increased through the ONA. Definitely wants that to be increased, or that dark spirit in the psychosphere for sure.
Yeah, they got to be cheering right now.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
It was fascinating to read about their culling techniques and the who they would choose as their offers in their human sacrifices, because it really looks like what would go on in the world right now, where if you're supporting this satanic rise that I believe I see happening in the world right now, that those are actually the first people they turn on, is the ones that help them get to this power. It seemed like they had a nice list of traits necessary. They didn't just sacrifice anyone. You had to be proven to be a worthy sacrifice, and usually it was by helping them.
Interesting. Yeah. No, I think that they had some kind of moral judgment about who they're going to get rid of. There's no question about it. Or groups. They're supposed groups. I think that the Nazarenes were one group they wanted to get rid of. So, and individuals and things like that. And I think, you know, it's not all this is just the information I could get public. I mean, I think that there is an oral tradition, A-U-R-A-L tradition with the ONA, of things that, and I know that exists within Crowley as well, the OTO, things that they talk about that aren't written down. But I do think that there's just so much writing about who they will get rid of and what's the benefit, right? So like if there's a journalist that's causing problems, get rid of him, that'll advance our way. Things that are in our way politically. So there's a lot of talking about who they want to get rid of. But you have to like get rid of, to go up somebody who's like the fourth or fifth level of the ONA's septenary way, that means that they've conducted a sacrifice, an offer sacrifice. It's incredible.
Wow. Yeah, and it's not random killing, guys. It's them definitely testing you. They want to test you, and they want to find out whether or not you're worthy of sacrifice. And it's not like they just kill those that they feel are meek or meager or anything. You've got to show your own willingness to be the sacrifice, or not really willingness, but the traits of a traitor. I just found it very fascinating how much effort they put into selecting who they would sacrifice and who deserved to die.
Right. No, it is remarkable. And I think it was like, if you're arrogant, if you, you know, did this test, if you came out feeling that, if they thought that you were less than, you had low character or something like that, then you were the perfect person to get rid of. You're the first, you know, human culling in action. You'd be ideal. So, you know, that's weird. And it's weird how it ties into kind of what's happening with the smiley face killings, where these young men are out there. There's an over proportion of them who are Christians, and also that they're usually out at bars. So maybe that's like an environment where somebody who was thinking like on ONA terms would see somebody acting drunk or being too loud or being a slob or something. And then they're like, okay, that's the person we're going to off tonight. We're going to ritually drown them and throw them in a river. Because yeah, they believe in this kind of Typhonic worldview. The trident to them is also important. There's something called the tricycle, which is also a very dark kind of symbol. That's a more recent element of the ONA. But it's the idea that this there's gods in the water underworld that need to be placated, sacrificed to, but also it's the old kind of battle between the lesser gods and the gods up on Olympus, right? So there could be that same kind of thing today where they're warring against the living god and their dark gods are underneath the water or something like that. It is interesting, like the fourth version of Stranger Things included kind of a portal at the bottom of a deep river. So right. I was like, oh, that sounds just like the ONA. So maybe they started reading something like that.
You can find that in the rituals of the Church of Satan as well.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they say if you wanted to call upon Cthulhu, which was one of Lovecraft's gods, for those that don't know, that you needed to do it off of a oil rig. And there are a lot of weird things going off the edge of oil rigs as we start to look into that.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And you mentioned Typhon, and you know, that was the fascinating part for me. With one of the more fascinating parts was this this idea of the dark gods, but Typhon and the Typhonian order of the Ordo Templi Orientis, Kenneth Grant, bringing about this idea of extraterrestrial communication through ritual magic. That's all tied up in this too. It just feels so futuristic, I guess, is what's going on with this idea of stargates and dark gods and Typhonian magic and the use of ritual magic for communication with these beings. Crazy.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. Like, I mean, that's a really core element, is these dark gods and inhabiting them at night. And if you really want to have kind of see the ONA in action, you can watch Ed Sheeran's Bad Habits, and it's ONA all the way from the beginning to the end. The whole video is incredible. It's like they're symbolically putting in front of your face ONA concepts, like almost like my whole chapter four concepts of the order are deliberately put out into the imagery of Bad Habits video. Check it out. Bad Habits is the video, and Sheeran is friends with this other band who I mentioned earlier, Bring Me the Horizon. So they've worked together, and he also, I think it's Cradle of Filth, which is another modern rock band who has definitely absorbed ONA concepts. So you can just see kind of little pieces of this, you know, ONA ideas have permeated current culture, really. And Bad Habits, I think, has had like 500 million views or something. So like the kind of what people are probably, I would say 99% of the people who watch that video have no idea that they're just getting the whole symbolic journey of the ONA right in their face.
I'm gonna have to look at that.
Yeah, check it out. Smiley faces are there, the vampirism, the possession, the blood drinking, sacrifice, the zombies, the kind of difference of the mundanes between them. They're kind of a special group. You have to watch it. It's really something else. And then at the very end, the sun comes up and he becomes his normal self. It's really something else. Yeah.
I tell you, as I was reading Global Death Cult and the Order of the Nine Angles, a lot of the satanic stuff was they were reading their prayers to Satan. I had to avoid. I did not want to read that. I didn't want to build it into my consciousness. I didn't want to say it out loud. I didn't want to do anything. There's a lot of that deep in there in your book that definitely shows. I mean, I don't know. If there's danger in actually reading these prayers or even thinking them. I kind of was left a little bit like, I don't think I want to read this, or just those portions, you know what I mean? Like out loud, yeah. Or, you know, stick them in my brain.
I don't blame you. I mean, you kind of want to avoid those things as much as possible. I just put them in there just so people know that there's like a prayer book, just to let people get the idea that if you're involved in this group, like, these are very dangerous people, in my opinion. So,
let's talk a little bit about the smiley face killers, because I didn't bring that in and I didn't make it to that portion. And I'm very curious. Of course, we had the Watchmen, which is the first one that stands out in my brain, with Alan Moore and the idea of the smiley face killer. The first thing I see is that smiley face button falling to the ground and the Watchman dripping in blood. Yeah. You know?
Right. No, it's very important because he's also a magician, and that becomes kind of like this symbol that's passed all around the world. Really, it's a sigil. And as a magical representation, I think he very successfully got that symbol out. And what that symbol represents is this kind of like smiling through tragedy. And it's associated with these deaths. And two separate researchers kind of came up with the name Smiley Face Killers. It was a guy named Gannon out of New York City, and then Gilbertson. And so they kind of came together and coined the term Smiley Face Killers. They noticed that there was a correlation between these young men going out and disappearing at night and later to be found in water. And sometimes occurrences happened, there was a smiley face. So they got the coin, and it's still going on to this day. I just did a show with a researcher last week, Jim Smith, about the smiley face killings, because there's definitely more killings going on in hot spots, really Houston, Chicago, of this phenomenon of people either being stalked and kept. And so I made my first documentary about that, and the title is The Smiley Face Killers, Who is Abducting, Torturing, and Murdering College-Age Men in the U.S. and U.K. That was 2017. And then my second one is The Smiley Face Killers, The Global Slaughter Continues, and that was over COVID, and that was 2021. But it just goes in. I probably have studied 120, 140 cases. And the smiley face has really suffused the culture. There's smiley face all over the place in art and music videos and clothing and things like that. So it's very successfully been disseminated all around the world, and it represents kind of the rise of the magic age. So there's definitely an esoteric element to it. There's a superficial one of just a smiling person, but it goes all the way back through. It goes, there's actually an association between the ONA that I found and that symbol. And it goes through Alan Moore, like you said, but it goes back to the kind of rise of the acid house music in the UK. And it's still around today. People are smashing, you know, Machine Gun Kelly has like a smiley face. So some of these people in common culture are deliberately wearing it. And it ties to like the smile, psychic TV or Topi. Temple of Psychic Youth and Genesis B. Orge. So it's all over the place.
Well, we definitely saw the introduction of this magic from Alan Moore with all of the Patriots running around in their Guy Fawkes masks and worshiping the Fall Guy and pretty much making themselves the Fall Guy. So guys listening, if you don't realize, you know, how much influence this has, then just look at how many people ran around in that Guy Fawkes mask without ever even knowing about Guy Fawkes or the back history of the story from V for Vendetta, going back to Crowley's magic, going back to all of it. If you actually read the graphic novel, you'll see clearly that, you know, Alan Moore venerates Crowley through this whole thing, and V really is a representation of Crowley and all of that. He has Crowley's motto on his mirror.
Right. The triple V, right? That's from Crowley. V, 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 V.
Yeah, it was 5V. It was a statement in Latin that I don't know the words to. But that's what
you... Something like, if in this name I conquer or something like that.
Right. Yeah, if you were to look at the graphic novel and not the movie of V for Vendetta, you definitely see far more Crowleyism in the graphic novel than you find in the movie. And I have a feeling that's why he kind of removed himself from the titles and everything in the movie, is they didn't cover the movie. I mean, in the graphic novel, the police officer's actually tripping on acid when he goes to find V. There's a lot more going on in the graphic novel than happens in the movie. And then the veneration of Crowley is all throughout the book.
I didn't know that. I mean, there is like a, yeah, that there is, they say, he says, do what thou wilt, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And it's also the smiley is a chaos symbol as well. So it has these deep meanings. It really does. I mean, a lot of people just look at it, like I said, superficially, but it's really something else. Smiley face.
Well, from a Christian perspective, do you really feel like the satanic agenda has taken hold? Because I'll Absolutely. Say I do.
100%. 100%. I think it's rising right back in a very dark way. And you can just see it through everything. This whole genderless stuff is very much Crowleyan, androgyne things. He calls Satan the, you know, androgyne. So I think that androgyny is actually a form of Luciferianism. You see that in the comic culture and just like the rise of Satanism, ONA, everything. Like I think Wicca, a lot of that stuff leads back into Crowley, but I definitely see it's rising, and I see the culling element of the Nazis playing out right now with these, with the gain of function and the shots. So it doesn't look like they're going to stop either. It seems like there's a darker agenda. So I don't know what the next card they have will drop, but yeah, it's not looking good.
Well, this is the first show of 2023, and I really, you know, from studying Robert Anton Wilson, know the significance of 23 Skidoo, and even right. its connections with the Illuminati and the number 5. I don't know. I just feeling, and you can comment or not, but I feel like there is chaos coming for 23. I really do. I don't know what that's going to entail, but it's just something deep in my soul that says this is going to be one of the most chaotic years of our existence. Do you feel that?
Yes. Yes, I do. I definitely do have a very, very kind of dark kind of uncertain feel for this year. I don't think things are going to get better. So I'm not looking forward to it.
Well, a lot of the problem is these identity politics. And so when we get back to Myatt and the Order of the Nine Angles, and they are laying out their justifications for bringing down what they consider a tyrannical oppressive system, you right. know, we could see the justification in everyone that's been given to them, right? You know, you're a minority, you're, you know, basically any sort of identity politics, and then turning everybody against each other and allowing riots in the streets and burning down of buildings. But here we are, it's the anniversary of January 6th, and the people that protested the election are still in jail 2 years later without ever being charged. And yet the chaos in the streets, no problem. Don't worry about that. These are peaceful protests. And
I mean, mostly peaceful, right? Mostly yes, peaceful. Yes.
So it seemed like the whole thing with Mott and the Order of the Nine Angles was to come up with the justifications that they could then be era vulgaris. They could be above the law and find their way to come in and take down this oppressive system. But to me, you know, Klaus Schwab, the WHO, the National Institute of Health, and all of the things that are coming down on us with the 5G, with the, I mean, we're about to be in a prison planet, a technological technocracy that is just going to lock us down in every way, shape, or form. I mean, it's frightening to look at where we're going, and it all seems to be boiled through these identity politics, is how they kind of slip this all in on and allow everybody to agree with it.
I agree. Like, they came at a different angle that people wouldn't see, the shots and the lockdowns and things like that. But you just kind of defined accelerationism, right? So the ONA is an accelerationist philosophy. They're trying to create the chaos to bring in their new order, right? So I do think that accelerationism is also a communistic principle as well. Like, you're supposed to accelerate to bring in communism. So I think that there's a lot of people trying to destabilize the systems for whatever gain, the New World Order. So, yeah, I think 2023 will be interesting. What is it? The 23 Enigma? Isn't that what Robert Anton Wilson called it, or Burroughs? Mm-hmm. The 23 is .666, something like that.
Right. Yeah, they were definitely into this, and they were all into the communication with the extraterrestrials and Sirius and all of that.
Yeah, that's right. Robert Anton Wilson, definitely. He was all into Sirius, and there's pictures of him with a smiley face, so he has that down, too. He's got all that down, yeah.
Yeah, I never thought me and Robert would ever get along. We have so many synchronicities, so many coincidences in our lives, and yet I think if I ever met Robert Anton Wilson, he would probably hate me. Just because of my ideas and how much I disagree.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he was definitely, he knew Crowley, he knew Leary, Esalen, that whole, everything, you know. He had everything, all those occult markers.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. I found him a fascinating character. I definitely, I've read most everything Robert Anton Wilson wrote, and finding all these bizarre connections between his life and mine is kind of, I feel like I'm kind of on the outside of a lot of these things. Like, I just a random anecdote, sorry, but like, I reversed the Mary Prankster's trip, and I didn't mean to do that, but in 2012 I got a school bus and I decided to take it around the United States for 2012, kind of be the Woody Harrelson and broadcast 2012 live to everyone. And I just followed a path of emails that people, you know, hey, bring your big stupid bus to my house and park it here for 3 days till the cops come. Because that's what happened every time we parked the bus somewhere.
Oh, wow.
It couldn't last longer than 3 days in any neighborhood. But by random chance or synchronicity or however you want to put it, we made a sacred spiral from the dead center of the United States in Lawrence, Kansas, where we started, around to New York, Florida, Texas, all the way up to California, where we ended in La Honda, which is exactly where the Mary Pranksters, where Ken Kesey bought the bus. So wow. I literally reversed the Mary Prankster trip and went everywhere they went without knowing that until I was done. And I kind of pieced it all together and realized, wow, I just reversed the Mary Pranksters.
That's amazing.
So maybe I had a little magical effect on people. I don't know. You know, I don't practice magic, but sometimes I might actually do it.
That's incredible. And they were very much in the culture creation, Kesey and all those guys, right? So giving away free acid, all that stuff.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, it changed the world. It changed everything. And now here we are, and we're seeing the results of these type of identity politics. We're seeing what's happening with transitioning transhumans. Yes. Into, you know, it's all goes together, this idea that there are no genders. Therefore, you could be a transhumanist. You could take on all these changes to your genetics, and it doesn't matter.
I think that the WEF is bragging about their ability to upgrade the genes through gene editing.
Yes, they are.
They're doing it now. So that's where we're at. It's incredible. Like, yeah. They're going to, who knows? I mean, God knows only what happened with these shots too. Like, who knows what the consequences of this, what they call the vaccine, is really a gene therapy. So,
yeah.
Who knows what happens downriver.
That's why I'm always telling people, glow-in-the-dark pigs produce glow-in-the-dark pigs. You know, this goes down through the genetics.
Right. Maybe they know. Maybe the people who administered the shots know the consequences. But we're in a science fiction novel. There's no question about it.
Oh, yeah. This is like the most poorly written dystopian I've ever seen. I mean, it's almost a joke, right? You know, it really is. Well, let's make sure everybody can find William Ramsey Investigates. I know that you are on Vimeo, you're on Rockfin, you're still on YouTube. How'd you manage that?
I didn't. I just had my whole video taken down. The one that's up there now, I can't even get into. Google will not let me into it. This is the strangest thing. They won't take it down, but they won't let me go in and edit it. That's why nothing's upgraded. So it's kind of weirdest predicament. They've taken down three things, but the good news is that podcasts are still uncensored. So you can listen to my podcast, William Ramsey Investigates. I have over 800 episodes now. And then I have my 5 documentaries are on Vimeo, and my books you can find at my website, William Ramsey Investigates, or you can just buy them from Amazon, including Global DevCon.
Yes. And we will have the links for all of that right here in the show notes for you folks so that you can get deep into this. Because I tell you, I learned and I confirmed so much through Global Death Cult. And we may never even see the signs of the Order of Nine Angles and understand where they are. But when you see the tenets, when you understand what they're attempting to achieve, this idea of evolving civilization into this new galactic human empire, then you will see the effects. You will see that this is the mindset of those in charge. And no, it doesn't require you to dress up in some satanic outfit with horns and go in front of your massive pentagram. As a matter of fact, that's probably a psyop to make you laugh at Satanism instead of really realizing that these are some sinister people attempting to find a sinister path and sacrificing the mundanes along the way with no problem and turning on their own agitators as they try to find the proper sacrifice and human calling. But this empire of a new breed of warrior explorers definitely coming up out of the Nazi set, but moving into this human galactic empire, I guess is part of the thing that I find the most fascinating is the future aspect of what they're talking about in the Order of the Nine Angles of the Stargates and the galactic, human galacticus, did they call it?
Right. Yeah, that's right. Homo galacticus.
Yeah.
Yeah, through aeonic change, right? So they're not thinking on smaller terms, like I just want to overthrow this government. They want a whole new aeon.
Yes.
Much like Crowley.
The era vulgaris.
Yeah.
Well, William, thank you so much for returning with us and sharing this, because boy, we wouldn't find, and you go so deep and you definitely cover all the angles, pun intended, like when we covered Crowley in our last broadcast, and it was so deep. I don't think anyone's ever covered Crowley. So guys, go back and listen to our past shows and check it out, because there's so much deep work going on there with William. He goes far with all of this and gets the information to you. And go to WilliamRamseyInvestigates.com. Is that still?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. And of course, we'll have all the video links and everything here for you to get that all together. So any final thoughts that you might want to share with the audience?
Yeah, well, just like there's other things in the book, this crazy Asian woman, Nazi. Her name was Suvanna Roth. You can read about her. Also, James Mason and his affection for Charles Manson, which a lot of people wouldn't think, but the far right in the U.S., at least Adam Waffen, had a real affinity for Charles Manson. So he pops up in the book, but it's great to be with you again. And thanks for having me on. Thanks.
Yes, you're very welcome. And if I can do a little bit of promotion with you guys, I'll tell you, I've been using my AquaCure. Eagle-research.life is the website, eagle-research.life. And if you use promo code Freeman, you get $500 off the $2,500 price. But I tell you guys, this thing is astounding. I've been using the AquaCure now for about a week. I do three, five minute sessions with it a day just to start warming myself into this breathing hydrogen. And I tell you guys, I mean, I can taste things so much more now. It's incredible. I'm blown away. I've been waiting to see what the effects are of this. And this is just the beginning. So I've only been doing it now for a week. And already flavors are so much more dramatic to me. I had no idea I had lost taste that much until now. And I don't know. This is just the first side effects that I'm seeing in the positive. So I want to let you guys all know. Yeah, please go out and check out the AquaCure, and the links are here for you with the Freeman promo code. Take that money off and get this thing, man. And I've been putting it on my plants. I've been using it in all the different ways. It's a fascinating and amazing system. And of course, let's all give love to Steve Mercer, associate producer here, Steve, for keeping this ball rolling. We're going to get this 2023 thing going for you guys like no other business. We have some great shows coming up with for you. And just, you know, we've been working really hard behind the scenes to make this an amazing year for all of you. And now we're going to flash back to a little question that Mark Passio and I had asking, are you a Satanist? So members, stay tuned. We'll be right back with that. William, thank you so much for coming back on. And I look forward to being on your program.
Cool.
We'll get that going.
Likewise. Yeah. Yeah. No, I want to hear more about aliens from hell. Sounds like something that I'd be interested in for sure.
Absolutely. Oh my God. So much fascinating stuff going on. So many thrills and chills, just wild stuff that no one's really even looking into. And I don't know why. So I look forward to sharing that with you.
Cool, man. Talk to you soon.
All right. We're going to move this on over into the members section, asking that question. Are you a Satanist? Yeah, only an ex-Satanist could tell you for sure. So we're going to be talking with Mark Passio in this rebroadcast. So thank you all so much. and we will see you next week.